Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Well, welcome back to Carolina Focus. Carolina Focus, your public affairs show, here on News Talk 1110 WBET, here on Mix 107.9, and right here on 92.7 610 Sports Radio FNZ, also available as a podcast. Let's get right at it. Heart transplants, a milestone accomplished here locally. Let's take a listen right here on Carolina Focus.
Sanger Heart and Vascular is celebrating an incredible milestone in the community and for the Carolinas and beyond, celebrating 700 successful heart transplants. So we're joined by Dr. Sanjeev Gulati. He's the chief of cardiology. And then we're also joined by Dr. Eric Skipper, who performed the 700th heart transplant. And as you'll hear, has performed many heart transplants. Just sharing with us, he remembers the 100 milestone. So to give you an idea for the impact of this team and the accomplishments that this program from Atrium Health Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute has reached is really incredible. So we're going to do a quick question and answer here. I'm going to moderate our discussion, and then we'll open it up to the media for any further up follow-ups and any questions you all may have. So as I mentioned, you know, Dr. Gulati, we'll start with you, celebrating this incredible milestone. When we try to put the impact of all the families that have been impacted by this, all the lives extended, talk about what Sanger and the many folks on this team are feeling today as we announce this incredible milestone.
Well, sometimes it's hard to express how everybody's feeling in the sense of being joyful, hopeful, excited, are not words that carry enough strength in how we feel. You know, as myself and Dr. Skipper and our really large, extensive team, which has grown well over the 30 plus years that we've been in transplant, has really put the effort into looking at how we can take care of our communities better. And going back to Dr. Robichek, who's the founder of the Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute, actually at the Sanger Clinic at that time, Dr. Alan Tomley, who was the cardiologist that worked with Dr. Robichek and started the transplant program, even back then in 1986, they felt that transplant was required for this growing community. And the reason for that is we know that heart failure has been one of the leading causes of death for patients. It also leads to a significant lower quality of life and daily suffering as this chronic disease is complex. And they didn't want patients leaving this community to go somewhere else when they knew even back then that we could do the job the right way. Great outcomes, let the patients be at home with their families, be taken care of in the community and support the community as we at Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute want to do. And so that really is kind of the foundation of why we do this. But again, this milestone is amazing, but we want to double, triple, quadruple that number in the near future. Yeah. So, you know, as I was mentioning, you know, heart failure, which is the primary disease which is a large bucket of other diseases, but the complex that leads to transplantation, those patients on a daily basis can be very debilitated. So not only having difficulty eating, walking to the bathroom, sleeping at night without having symptoms such as shortness of breath or fatigue, or feeling that they're gonna even pass out sometimes. And imagine living with that every day for months or years and not being able to walk to the bathroom without needing assistance, without not being able to sleep, without being propped up in a recliner because you're so short of breath. Then they go through this operation, get a new heart by Dr. Skipper, and then they wake up. And I have been impressed over and over again that patients wake up and they say, gosh, I feel better. I don't know why I feel better, but I feel better. That's after having open heart surgery, having your transplant, still in the ICU, still connected to medications through the IV, still not even getting out of bed yet. They feel that amazing difference. And that's when you know that you've done the right thing. And I tell them all the time, I said, give us another 3 to 6 months as we rehab you and you're back to work and you're back with your family, you'll feel even better. And we've seen people literally go from being discharged from the hospital to working out in 2 or 3 weeks and back to work in a month. Amazing.
Incredible. And on that note, Dr. Skipper, you know, you've been in the operating room for so many years. You've seen so many of these transplants and been part of it. First off, talk to us about your thoughts on this milestone. You had mentioned before we got on this call, you remember the 100th heart transplant. Now we're here at 700, 600 in between there. From where you sit and from your career, talk about just what you're feeling today on this milestone day.
Well, I think, you know, every transplant's a milestone. So each, you know, notch in the wheel, each transplant's equally important. It's just nice to, you know, hit 100, 200, 500, 700 transplants. Dr. Gulati and I are, you know, privileged to be a part of a tremendous team, and it takes a team to take care of all these patients. But the reality is it's a blessing to be a part of this. Patients, to Dr. Gulati's point, they realize that, you know, the clock's ticking, and this gives them a new lease on life, and they look forward to the transplant, and then they look forward to life afterwards. But it's an incredible blessing to be a part of all that.
And talk about, you know, for someone who doesn't quite understand the intricacies of this procedure, the technology has changed quite a bit. Medication regimens, treatment regimens have changed quite a bit. Take us through in sort of understanding the audience, just kind of not understanding the medical terminology, but take us through the operating procedure, you know, and what it is like being in that operating room. And also take us through leading up to that. You know, Sanger is known for a multidisciplinary approach to these cases where there's so many steps and so many people, as you mentioned, the team involved. So talk about kind of the lead up to the procedure and then what it's like to do this.
Certainly a part of getting to the actual procedure is being presented to and cleared by a multidisciplinary team. And this is a part of every transplant process out there. It's something that we've done for decades. It's something that other medical care teams, you know, have started doing more judiciously over the last 5, 10, 15 years. But transplant sort of led the charge for multidisciplinary approaches. Once patients meet criteria for transplant, they await an organ. And then, you know, unfortunately, with every transplant comes a tragedy. Someone loses a life, but then either that individual or their family is gracious enough to share organs with people who are in need of those organs. So it's sort of a happy ending to a horrible tragedy. In the operating room, the procedure itself has changed a little bit since the early 80s, but the procedure hasn't changed that much. We've gotten faster. We've gotten smarter. We figured out how to protect the organs better and have that heart function better, faster, coming out of the operating room. But as far as taking out the old heart and putting in the new heart, it's a straightforward operation that they love to make look really complex on TV. I think if anything, the changes have just been to make it more efficient and preserve the organ better.
Sometimes over-dramatized on television, but nonetheless, an amazing procedure and all you all are doing.
To your point, broadening that net to ensure that we're able to, you know, really take advantage of organs that are available and give every potential organ a chance to work. So one of the newer technologies that we've adopted is a method to help us extend our donor radius, meaning how far we can fly for an organ and how we treat that organ to ensure that it works well when it comes back. And that's a technology that allows us to perfuse the organ rather than just keep it in cold storage, so to speak. The organ is explanted, it's hooked to a machine that then perfuses that organ. You can monitor how the heart is doing and rehabilitate that heart in many cases, ensure that it looks like it is performing appropriately to ensure that when you implant the heart, the recipient is going to do well and have a heart that does well. That will allow us to increase the radius from 500 miles, which is a fairly standard current radius, to roughly 1,000 miles. And all of that is driven by, historically, the amount of time that the heart is on cold storage. And this new technology allows us to minimize the actual amount of time on the front end and the back end for that, and perfuse the heart in the middle there.
That's incredible. So essentially you're keeping the heart functioning in transport. Is that correct?
Yes. The heart's beating. It's not having to work. It's not having to move blood like your heart or my heart, but the heart is perfusing, it's beating, and the cells are working.
Wow. Dr. Galati, I think, the implementation of this technology and the relationships that Atrium Health has from a research and trials basis really is on spotlight here. Is that right? This was something that we've been working on for quite some time.
Yes. And this, to Dr. Skipper's point, the whole idea of this is to reduce the stress of the heart when it's being transported and make it in the best shape when it goes into the recipient. And the other part is for, as Dr. Skipper also mentioned, is allowing us to increase the ability to bring more organs to our patients in Charlotte. And the idea for that is to make sure that they still have the quality outcomes that we expect from our transplant program. If you look at our survival right now, it's about 97% one-year survival, which is a big marker that we look at. It's one of the leading numbers that we pay a lot of attention to. We also are stewards of the donor in terms of the organs that person or their family has donated, and we want to make sure that they have the best chance of helping someone extend their life. So this is critically important. Then you get into the research aspect, as you had mentioned. We're active in multi-center trials looking at newer technologies. We've done several trials, including one of the most recent landmark trials for partial heart pumps called the left ventricular assist device. And that helps patients who can't get a transplant or not ready for a transplant or don't want a transplant, that we can sometimes use either total artificial hearts or partial assist devices to help them live longer too. So, one of our missions at Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute is, again, to help our community to be safe, to have better quality of life, to live longer and not have to leave Charlotte to get those things. Right now, the Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute, we can do everything in cardiology and cardiac surgery and in vascular surgery that anybody else can offer. And our mainstay is to provide that in a quality environment, making sure those patients have the best outcomes. And Dr. Skipper did mention, our multidisciplinary team on the transplant side, and we have used that model to extend it to other areas within cardiology and cardiac surgery, such as what we call the heart team, which is looking at really high risk cardiac surgery. And so how do we make better decisions? We bring people who know that patient from different aspects and their different specialties, and we conference on this. We do that once, twice, three times a week with these complex surgeries. Similarly, we do it in where we look at ways to avoid surgery. Percutaneous valve replacements is a very growing field. Dr. Skipper's involved with that also with our cardiologist. Again, multidisciplinary team looking at from a complex advanced imaging, looking at from cardiac surgery, and looking from cardiology to give that patient the best outcome. Now patients are leaving the same day or the next day and would not have that opportunity. And these are things that we research internally. We talk to our colleagues across the country and we take best practices and incorporate them in. And, I'm proud to say that our institute does this on a regular basis. We are built on a quality foundation from the Sanger Clinic till today.
700 heart transplants. Gosh, many of you like me can remember when the first one ever occurred back, I believe, in the 70s. Hey, coming up next Monday, July 4th, the Sky Show. Had a chance to catch up with Beth Trotman and Bo Thompson. We talked history. Why does Bo get so excited about Sky Show? And he gave us a preview of next Monday's July 4th Sky Show. Let's take a listen right here on Carolina Focus. Well, folks, here on Carolina Focus, honored on this Sunday morning to have Bo Thompson and Beth Trotman. And we're going to talk Sky Show coming up here on July 4th. Bo, let's start the history of Sky Show in WBT.
Well, it all started 47. No. How long do we have, Ed? Sky Show goes back to 1976, and a lot of this is fresh in my head.
Well, that's the 200th anniversary, wasn't it?
The country's bicentennial,
yes.
And for the station's centennial, Of course, I've spent a lot of time combing through that audio and that that stuff and that lure over the last several months for what we did in April. And so I had the occasion to sort of go back through a lot of that. And, you know, I have audio of Bob Lacey back in 1976, you know, doing the intro for the first ever Sky Show celebration. At that point in time, it was not where it is now. It's kind of hopscotched across the city, Memorial Stadium. There was a time where they shot it off the Cameron Brown Building. There was a time where they shot them. It was like a street festival down the Trade and Tryon. And then now, of course, and this dates back to the last few years that the Charlotte Knights were in Fort Mill. Right. We started aligning with the Knights back, I guess, I want to say 13, 14 years now. And then, of course, when the Knights returned to, and I think, you know, the powers that be here had the idea that the Knights would eventually come back to Uptown.
Mm-hmm. And a nice, beautiful stadium.
Yeah. And so when they did in 2014, then, of course, Sky Show shifted venues back to Charlotte. And now, ever since, they have shot the fireworks from the outfield at what is now Truist Field. And so you go back to 1976 all the way till now. Sky Show 2022 getting set for the latest incarnation, which is a week from tomorrow, a week from Monday, and it will be at Truist Field. And for the first time ever, Beth Troutman's going to join me.
There
so
you go, Beth.
I'm very excited about that.
Now, I'm excited. I was born and raised here in Charlotte, so I have seen Sky Show. I have been part of Sky Show as a spectator and as a patriotic citizen, but this is the first time that I get to do this.
Do you like fireworks?
Oh, my gosh. I was talking about it on our show this past week. I get emotional with fireworks. They make me teary
with the music in the background and all.
Yes, you can't help but feel patriotic. And the fact that Bo and I are going to be on the field and we're going to get to see this happen in that beautiful stadium with the skyline behind us, there's nothing that could make you feel more proud to be a Charlottean and more proud to be an American. And I've been trying to convince the folks at the stadium to let me light the fuse.
At the very least, I want them to have an isolated, I want Beth up on the Jumbotron so we can see her reaction while they shoot the fireworks off and, you know, have those two images right beside each other.
Well, now, Bo, you got so much passion for this. Knowing you over all the years, this is one of the highlights of the year for you, isn't it?
I love the Sky Show event. It's the signature event for the station. Has been all the way back since 1976. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize in Greater Charlotte, a lot of people think the city of Charlotte puts this show on. That's not true. WBT and the Knights put this show on. And so this fireworks presentation that you see, which obviously, I mean, the best seat in the house is inside Truist Field. If you buy a ticket and you go in, you are guaranteed to have the best seat in the house because by virtue of where they're shot from. But, you know, anywhere in Uptown, you know, Romare Bearden Park has become, you know, prime property on Independence Day because of that. I mean, it's the field there and it's a great venue. And then people go around the city and find their spots where they watch the fireworks. So it's one thing to be there at the venue, but the other part of the longstanding tradition that goes back to 1976, Ed, is the fact that wherever you are in the city and you turn on your radio, when the fireworks begin, you can hear the soundtrack track, which is simulcast on WBT. And so, and what you also may not realize, if you listen to me, you know this, but if you're you know, new to this whole Sky Show thing, yeah, it's music going on while the fireworks are going on. But the company that actually does this for us, one of the components of that is to actually sync the soundtrack to the fireworks. So I know this because I used to make the soundtrack. I did it four or five times back in when I was
the whole production element of this thing.
So I would put together about 18 or 19 minutes of patriotic music montage together, and then you send that to the fireworks people. And one of the things that they do, in addition to actually firing off the fireworks, is they take it and they put computer digital cues within the music, which tells the fireworks, you know, when to shoot off. And so if you're watching it, it's not hyperbole to say that you're watching a Sky Show that is choreographed to music.
This is what I love about Bo Thompson. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm in awe of all of the things that live inside of his brain and how much passion he has.
You learn something every time you hear him speak about
this
stuff.
It's exactly right.
There's cues in the fireworks to say, blast this song with Lee Greenwood or that one with whoever, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I'm sure we'll hear both that night. I don't do the soundtrack anymore.
You know the program inside.
It'll find its way in.
We're all smarter this morning, Bo, or today, Bo, for having sat beside you for this.
Well, so what did I do? I said, hey, Beth, you need to come sit beside me. I'm pulling her into this. So that's the biggest compliment I could give anybody that works here is, hey, you could interpret it, I guess, two ways. I'd interpret it as, you know, Beth, you're my new partner. If I'm part of this, I want you part of this. And some people may say, oh, but Bo's dragging her into this now.
Bo and Beth, how long is the show? I mean, it's after the game, right?
It is.
Before we get to anything going on before that, street parties or cocktails,
yes,
or
yes,
baseball?
Here's what I know. So officially, every year before the fireworks in the afternoon, we broadcast, or I have always broadcast from somewhere. Sometimes it's outside in front of the stadium, like facing Romare Bearden Park. Last year, for the first time, it was actually inside on the concourse, which I thought was really cool. But really, wherever it is, I've done it from the press box before. Wherever they put you, there's people to talk to and people watching and people. I like pulling people onto the air and talking to them.
People to hug.
Yeah, people to hug. So that part of it starts at 4 o'clock. I don't have the exact itinerary outside of what I'm involved in, but I can tell you from a station standpoint, we start at 4 o'clock on the air. We go till 7. So, you know, that'll be a Monday, special programming day. Beth and I won't be on in the morning because we'll be on in the afternoon.
Right.
We'll broadcast for 3 hours. And that's like, you know, it's a patriotic soundtrack to your day. And whatever you're doing, you know, we'll have special guests on. We'll have people on at the stadium. We'll actually play full songs. You know, I mean, we've been known to play a Bruce Springsteen, you know, patriotic song, Lee Greenwood or two. And then we have some fun. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be done on the air. And then somewhere around 9:45 or 10, it's a moving target because you're following a baseball game.
Absolutely,
so there have been years when there's been a tie in extra innings. There have been years when rain has been in the forecast. Last year, for the first time ever, like I've been there a number of years where things have been delayed, so you're starting it later, right? You're waiting for the game to end. Last year, the game ended early. And I remember they came to me because I'm with Ramona Holloway also from Mix 107.9, and she'll be out there with Beth and me. But Ramona, I've done this for almost 10 years together. And so last year was the first time where they came to us and the sun was still up.
It's not dark yet.
So they couldn't shoot the fireworks yet. So they basically came to us and said, we need you to tap dance for about 45 minutes.
We need you to do a stand-up routine. That's why they brought me along this time, just in case this happens. Yeah. I can tell random stories to the crowd.
And fill the time slot there.
So this basically means that the game is going to end at like 4:30.
Exactly.
But at any rate, so back to the schedule, 4 to 7 p.m. on the air, and then the game starts, and it's not the Charlotte Knights this year.
Oh, no.
It's Team USA.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, not every minor league team can have a July 4th game. You have to have a road team, right? So this is the year or one of those years where the Knights are actually on the road, and they'll be doing, you know, a July 4th thing at a game where they're the visiting team. This year we have Team USA, and I don't know who their opponent is yet, but they're, you know, Team USA is in action. This is the team that, you know, if it were an Olympic year, would be playing in the Olympics.
So it's good baseball.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's Team USA on the
cold
USA's
beverages,
birthday.
Hot dogs, everything, yeah. 4th of July.
So Team USA plays, and then when the game is over, we have a tradition we started several years back, and that's a flag ceremony on the field where we have listeners who are active military or have served in the military, and they come out and they were introduced, and it's, you know, we always have all of the the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard represented, the armed forces. And so they get recognized, they get mentioned, and then we do the countdown. And then, you know, the biggest show of all happens. And I say to you, we do, WBT does, weekend fireworks throughout the season. And it's a really good show.
Oh, yes. It is. I've seen it. Yeah.
It's
so
a really
great.
Good show when it's not July 4th.
But is this one on steroids then?
That I was about to say. Very, okay. Very, very well described. It's the usual fireworks on steroids. And there is no better place to be, not just in Charlotte, but in the Southeast, than this show on Monday night a week.
I'm excited.
Beth, it's going to be awesome.
I know. I'm going to cry. I'm going to hug people. I'm going to be patriotic. I'm going to light some fireworks.
Here we go. Guys, thank you for your time this morning. Monday, July 4th.
That's right.
Perfect.
That's
a 3-day weekend.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.